Greetings. Welcome to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. Today is the 10th of May, 2026, Sunday. My website, thispresenttruth.com, and on the website you can go to the Olive Tree site, the Present Truth site, the Olive Tree site. The Olive Tree programs are directed specifically or are presented to the Christian people in the United States and internationally, depending on where the programs and the website reaches. Again, I am your host, Rick Rodriguez. I have been doing many Present Truth programs because of the changes in international and local and national news. I have planned to, like I stated in the last program, there is a tribulation coming. And pray for yourselves. Today's program, I'm going to title this, that without prophecy, there is no vision. Without prophecy, there is no vision. And before I begin, I do want to give out the mailing address. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I had recorded previous programs for, and like I stated, I have been spending most of my time recording the Present Truth programs, and not that I'm neglecting the Olive Tree programs, which are very important. It's just a matter of time. Also, I have had, you might say, a period of time where problems arose due to the new AI platforms that are main news today. Everyone is switching to AI, artificial intelligence, radio, internet, etc. Due to that, I was had about a 90-day period where we were in a float or flux, but that has been taken care of. So I can continue now with the programs. I stated in one program that two programs ago now, that I am focused on Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24 is unique. It is the Lord responding to a question by the early disciples. Lord, when will the end come? What is the sign of your coming? Today, the signs of Christ's coming are evident, but within evangelical Christianity, I'll forget about the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Greek churches, all the other main denominations. I'm going to exclude them. I can't, but I'm going to focus on one point. I'm speaking to the evangelical churches, as well as the others, but I include them. But my focus is, as an evangelical pastor, evangelical minister, it's important to look at evangelical Christianity presently, because within the churches, evangelical Christianity being the fundamental, Pentecostal, charismatic, and the Messianic movement in the United States of America. This is the personality of the evangelical churches. Each of what I've just described, each aspect has its pluses and negatives. The greatest negative across the board, to a great degree, within the four groups that I've mentioned, is eschatology, study of the signs and the scriptures and the prophecies pertaining to the end of the time, rule of Satan, Satan's rule of the cosmos, of the world, in negative sense. We believers are in the world. We have to occupy till Christ returns in the world, but we are not to be like a magnet. We're not to be attached to the world. We function, but unattached. We're like aluminum. A magnet has no pull on us. Shouldn't have, but I'm afraid it does. The majority of leaders in the fellowships, the great percentage, I'd say 95%, do not discuss prophecy. Prophecy is a judgment against most of the past pastors in ministry in America. The men that have actually been ordained to oversee the sanctified, holy family of believers in the churches. Like I stated in the last program, a sacred congregation. We are sacred to Christ. This is why the apostles made it clear that the individuals that would oversee the souls of men, these sacred individuals in the body of Christ, why they had requirements on these individuals. Male, number one, not female. I'm going to be very clear about this. Males, not female. These men were to be the husbands of one wife. They were to be without any reproach. They couldn't be, there was not to be any accusations against them that were true. I've been studying here recently, there's the Daystar Ministry. Daystar Ministry. Daystar is the reference to Lucifer. He is known as the Daystar. Christ is the Morning Star. Because many of the Christian people don't know the two difference between two kingdoms, they would start a ministry with the name Daystar. Well, there is a Marcus Lamb and his wife Joni Lamb have both passed away. Marcus, I think, in 2021, during the time of COVID, he was in the hospital. He passed away. I'm going to be, as a minister, I have to be honest with the family. What happens outside the family in the world, I'm not addressing those people. I'm addressing the sacred assembly, the believers in Christ. I have been outspoken on many of the ministries, the big ministries in the United States. One of the big ministries here 2 years ago, been around for 30 years, the IHOP, International House of Prayer Ministries, Mike Bickle, caught in a scandal. The ministry now is been under the punishment of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy tells us what to look for in the years, in the decades before Christ comes. It makes it very clear there would be these ministries that would, like major works of God, that wouldn't be holy. There would be corruption. There would be the works of man, direction, men leading these ministries. And the main problem with these ministries would be, yes, there'd be the trouble in the leadership. There would be trouble in the leadership. Apostasy, I'm hitting the canvas as I paint this picture, brush strokes a little to the left, upper, bottom right, left, center. I'm hitting everything at once. The leadership, there would be problems. There was problems with Daystar leadership. The fact is, Mr. Lamb, Marcus Lamb, I really didn't follow, heard about this ministry, started kind of following it here about a year ago. I didn't have a good feeling about it even then. I didn't know the history. Marcus Lamb eventually admits that he had been in a relationship, extramarital relationship, for 7 years. Then his wife, who died on the 7th of May, what was this, about 3 days ago, she was involved after his death. She's involved in an affair with the individual that she marries. This is not gossip. This is a fact. Many people want to hide under the umbrella. Brother, we're not to gossip. I'm not gossiping. This is fact. She's involved in a relationship with a man who just divorced his wife. Before he divorces her, they're involved. And now she's passed away 3 days ago. How would you view this? Would you view this as natural occurrences? Or would you view it in a different way? Marcus Lamb was disqualified from ministry when he began the affair 7 years before his death, I think it was. Or he had been in an affair for 7 years, then he admitted to the congregation and repented of it. He was disqualified when he began the relationship outside of marriage. He was disqualified. Joni, when she began a relationship before she was married with a Doug Weiss, you could say she was disqualified. Fact is, biblically speaking, to this family of sacred members, as a woman, she was unqualified. She might have had the ability to run a business, a corporation, a company. But biblically speaking, she was not to have authority over males, men. So she was disqualified. Then on top of that, having a relationship during her time after her husband passed away, or before, I think even before he passed away, she was disqualified should she have been a male. The individual that she married, who was her present husband, he is disqualified. We can view this one way as individuals. It's too harsh. No. God expects people in positions of power, especially males, you have standards You have boundaries. There are requirements that are not to be violated. Individuals through the years that have been unfaithful to their wives, immediately they were disqualified. Immediately. They're overseeing a sacred assembly. My last program, I discussed the matter of a sacred assembly. We believers are not just an assembly. We're to be holy and we're to be righteous. We're the children of a holy God, and He views His children as sacred, special. The children of Israel are a sacred assembly in the natural world, in the natural realm, to God. They're His. Christ has died for us. We are sacred. And you have men and women in positions of power that, biblically speaking, should not be in those positions. Going back to the 70s and the 80s, the 90s, turn of the century, to the present, infidelity with men who have great ministries, white, black, Asian, doesn't matter, that disqualified themselves by their actions. And with the Daystar ministry, there is a, you might say, the storm has hit. There were biblical principles that weren't followed. There was betrayal. There's even witchcraft, Jezebel spirits in the ministry. But in the ministry, you had individuals who are in right standing with the Lord that were speaking publicly about the problems that they were trying to address within that ministry, and their words fell on deaf ears because there's programs. Not only programs, there's a vision, the vision of men, the vision of mothers, the vision of women. Keeping a Christian corporation together. So laying that background, I'm going to talk about prophecy. The prophets of Israel, Christ Himself, the apostles, they all spoke of future events. The sun, the moon, the stars, oceans, the oceans roaring, unsettled, distresses in the heavens, talking of earthquakes, foundations being shaken, which are earthquakes. There would be distress in the nations, within countries, ethnos against ethnos, race against race. So the signs would be evident outwardly in the world. Kingdoms being overthrown, kingdoms going to war, nation against nation. Everything is evident to see with your eyes, hear with your ears. But something unique that the sacred assembly would have to watch for, to look, to observe. Something that would occur in the sacred assembly that would be the main indicator to God's children that the end is near. We can forget about changes in the sun and the moon, the stars, the heavens, earthquakes, volcanoes, the hatred in the world. We can forget about that. There was something very specific, a warning to the body of Christ, to the sacred assembly. And in the sacred assembly, you have the overcomers and those who don't overcome, those who are righteous, those who are unrighteous. You have the dysfunctional in the sacred assembly. You have the mentally unwell in the sacred assembly that need deliverance. You have deceivers that are true born-again people in the sacred assembly that want to profit from the members around them. You have ministers that shouldn't be in ministry, that shouldn't be in the pulpit, that shouldn't have authority over anybody. So there would be a great dysfunctional family, but it's still sacred. Your children may be involved in everything illegal, immoral. They're still your children. But in the sacred assembly, you have a small percentage that will be faithful, that are faithful, that will be the target, the focus of the kingdom of darkness. It's this group that is targeted above all of the people in the sacred assembly. Christ was targeted as the most sacred of all of the family, the most sacred individual ever born. And we were patterned after him upon being born again. Now we are members, we are brothers of Christ. So with the body of Christ, there is one. We can watch what's happening with the war in the nations, upheavals within the political world in the country. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul uses a word. We are to look for one thing: apostasy. This is the focus of the people in the sacred assembly. This is what the focus should be. Not wars, not earthquakes, not the sun and the moon and the stars. It's to be apostasy. We are to look at not what's out without. We are to view, be aware of, concerned for what is happening within the assembly. It's called apostasy. It's called a ship without a rudder in violent waters. This is what I say about using Daystar Ministries as an example. This is apostasy. What happened with Jim and Tammy Baker, this is an apostasy. This is something abnormal. It's a growth, like a tumor within evangelical Christianity. Jan and Paul Crouch, with these big ministries, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, within the Hillsong churches, And I don't want to offend people, Joel Osteen. And I can go on and on and on. These are ministries that have had a great influence on the sacred people of God. Now, at the top, you have these men that have erred in vision, that are not sold out to Christ. They're sold out to the vision that they have given themselves to be well known, to become wealthy, to have influence. But now I'm going to say something to the children of God. You are guilty. Those who have been part of these growths, unnatural tumors, I call them, in the family. You have some that are huge, big, influential ministries that are have been balanced, that have been effective, that have truly furthered the knowledge of who Christ is and His kingdom, the power of His kingdom, that have been faithful to God. They've been a great positive influence on this society and the societies of the world. They have been faithful to be laborers in the field, taking the gospel internationally. The big ministries that have been a cancer to the body of Christ. For cancer to grow, you have to have nutrients called sugar. And these people that have supported these big ministries, and they know there's been corruption. They know there's been infidelity. They know there's been child perversion. They still send their dollars. They still feed the cancer. I say here, the Christian people in these ministries that prefer to let things be, to pay, to send their cash, spend their time, to try to keep that tumor alive, my question is, do you think that God is going to turn His head? Do you think there won't be consequences? Because I'm going to tell you what is happening to you. You're not growing. You're not growing in the knowledge of the Word. You're being compromised. And you're being stunted in your spiritual growth. From the time we become believers, we are to grow. We are to keep ourselves in an area, in the field, where our roots can go deep. We are to keep ourselves off of the stony ground. We are to protect ourselves from the heat of the day, meaning the heat of the world, the influence of the world. And we are to watch for what God wants to plant in our heart through His Word, that the spirits in the sky, the devil, won't come and pluck what has been put in your spirit. Because that's what he'll do. You'll be happy. You'll be incredibly pleased with the Word of God. And it'll be taken from you. the church, two aspects. Those who lead, those who are the laity, who are to learn and grow. If you haven't been growing, if you believe that God is going to remove you from hardship to come, then I'm going to let you know you are deceived. It's a doctrine of demons. It's a very powerful doctrine. And probably 90% of the people that believe in a pre-trib rapture are going to be very disappointed. I'd say at least 90%. But that is something that each person has to work out for themselves. Now, going back to, before I continue again, programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. Mailing information, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Okay. Now, I used the matter of Daystar Ministries as an example. There are other people I should mention that I haven't mentioned, especially female ministries. To the women that love the female teachers, pastors, ministries, I'm warning you, whatever these women are, whatever their hurts are, whatever their problems are with the past, with men, with their parents, with their father, it will affect you. Women who have been, you might say, abused by males, gravitate to women who have been abused because they can identify the teacher or the female pastor gives the women someone to identify with because they think that the women only can understand what they have, the trauma and what they have gone through. That is a lie from the devil. It is a lie. For women that have had these type of psychological, I guess, hurts. Men who are godly, who minister through the Holy Spirit, and I don't mean the ones who are after, you know, fame and fortune. I'm talking about the men who are truly the men ordained to be in positions of authority, that have the Holy Spirit, that have stayed in the field and have grown through the years and matured. Only these type of ministries and men can actually bring healing psychologically in the soul to women. Other ministries can only put painkiller on the wound. There's no healing. There's always a problem. The men that are faithful to the Lord would address one thing, and I would address it right now with you. If you can't forgive, sisters, if you can't forgive, regardless of what you've gone through, if you cannot forgive, and if you are not being led into the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive what has happened to you in the past, then you're in the wrong place. You're being comforted. but you're not being healed. You're not being made whole. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to make you whole, so that both legs are the same length, that you can walk forward in life and not go in a circle. If you're following women that have had problems, that have no integrity, which they shouldn't be in ministry anyhow, you're like a woman that has one leg 6 inches shorter than the other. You're going to go around in a circle. You're going to end up in the same place, never being free, never being able to leave a pattern. Same with men. Same with men. I've worked with people, I've known people that have come out of satanic ritual abuse, that have been to coven meetings where you have three altars in one location at the same time, listening to the same music, sacrificing people at the same time in rhythm. And God has healed them. And they're still living to this day. But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. They can't go to counselors. If a counselor is not bringing in the power of the Spirit and freeing an individual from unforgiveness, that person is stuck, will always be stuck. And that is the strategy of the devil, so that you will not grow, that you're stunted in your spiritual growth. And this is what these churches that I have mentioned, they are keeping you. Not within those assemblies, there will be those that will grow, that will learn the lessons, that will be holy, that will be righteous. They are convicted to be where they are positioned so that they can be trained. But eventually, these ships are going to hit a reef. They're going to hit shallow ground. And then the individuals in those assemblies are going to be forced to abandon that work. Many of the people at the IHOP ministries were forced to abandon that big work of man. They believed it was a work of God. They believed the man that was basically in the men were like Paul told Timothy, there are these rules. There are rules. There are stipulations you must abide by. And they weren't abiding by those rules. Caught in addictions, whether it be alcohol, pornography, whoremongering, child molesting, things of that nature. And there are those within the ministry, many of these ministries, that know what's going on. But because they have a position, they compromise themselves. they're going to be punished. Not only the leaders of the ministries, but those that are protecting the ministries from unrighteousness. They're going to be punished. And the children, these sacred members of these ministries that feed the cancer, you're sacred. God loves you, but you're going to be punished. For all my Christian life, God is love. God is love. He's love. But the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Read what Paul says about the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat, I'm going to be there. My wife will be there. My children, all the friends, we'll all be there at the same time. I think it's going to take, in God's timeline, maybe 30 minutes. In our timeline, I should say 30 minutes, for all the millions of Christians from the time of Christ to the present, 30 minutes in man's time. It'll be a month, a year in God's time. It's a judgment seat of Christ. It is a righteous a time when we stand before the righteous God, and all that we have done through our Christian lives is going to be examined. It's going to be examined. So did you support this cancer with your finances, with your time? Did you bring people into this cancerous assembly that was singing in the flesh? They were singing in the soul, praises to God, strange fire. And you sit week after week, year after year, listening to musicians that should have been playing at halftime at a football game. Our God is a consuming fire, the judgment seat of Christ. It is a seat where there is going to be fire. And everything that we have done is going to be put in the microwave. And whatever's gold, silver, precious stone is going to make it through the microwave, through the fire. Everything else is going to be burned up. Did you do things in your self, in your soul? Did you do things in your flesh? It's going to be burned up. And the pastors of the land don't teach God's children how to walk in spirit. How do you walk in spirit? Your spirit is three things. Your heart. It is the portion of your being that you love God with. And if you love God, you'll love your brother. And if you love your brother, you'll love your fellow man. Then secondly, your conscience. Even though we're Christians, our conscience is even sharper, more alive than it was before we came to Christ. We have to live by our conscience. You know, I used to run down the road in Wyoming at 85 miles an hour. This is 20, 30 years ago. And I thought, you know, if I have a wreck at that speed, it's going to be over. So it wasn't so much my conscience that made me slow down. It was the consequences of having a wreck, hitting an elk, hitting an antelope, hitting an icy patch on the road, famous area called Elk Mountain, between Rawlins and Laramie. So it wasn't my conscience, it was just the consequences of having a wreck. And eventually I thought, yeah, in my conscience, I better not tempt God. Then thirdly, your spirit is your intuition. I watched Daystar, the IHOP, Bill Johnson, New Apostolic Reform. I watched what happened in Colorado Springs, the end of the 90s into the turn of the century. And I'm thinking, you know what? It doesn't sit right in my spirit. The prophets in Southern Colorado that followed James Dobson to Colorado Springs in the early 90s. These people have a prophetic ability. Whenever there's going to be a move of God, oh boy, here they come. There's gold in those hills, and here they come. And then I watch it, and I observe competition. Competition. And this is what I saw with all the prophetesses and the prophets, IHOP, C. Peter Wagner, all the different groups down there, all of the... And these people do have prophetic ability. I don't deny that. But I watch the competition, and that's a trigger. That is a caution. There's no competition in the kingdom of heaven. There is to be a gradual... You can't have a massive ship that one half is rigid and the other half is very flexible. The two won't work. You'll split that ship in half. It has to be tempered front to back, tip to tail. And I saw, and I even did tell a pastor in Fort Collins, All Nations Church, Mel Johnson, Pastor Mel Johnson, in about 1990, about 2000, right in that area, in that time period. I told him, Brother Mel, that move in Southern Colorado is over. These people, it's done. The Holy Spirit has lifted off of it. He's going to relocate. And it came to pass. I've talked about this in the programs years ago. Now that I'm no longer on radio, I'm going to have to rehearse to this audience. My objective is to get you to grow. This is the objective of all of the apostles and Christ himself, to get you grow, get you to grow, to get you to mature. There's something coming. If your intuition isn't working, you're going to get caught. If your heart is wrong, is not right with God and with your fellow man, there's going to be a disaster. If your conscience is allowing you to get away with things like these men, having an affair with a woman for 7 years, I couldn't do that for 7 seconds. I'll tell you something. How would I phrase it? Should that happen, my ministry's over. It's done. I'm finished. I know. I would no longer have the Holy Spirit upon me. I think this Marcus Lamb of Daystar, I think he learned a lesson. I think he saw the Holy Spirit lift off of his life. He still had the abilities because of natural gifting to lead a ministry, to preach. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was not on him. These men in the pulpit today that have been unfaithful to their wives, the Holy Spirit is not on them. They're faking it. They may have abilities, and they're leaning on what they've learned in the past. But they are not to be over, they are not to oversee the sacred children of God. And you sisters who love women teachers, I'm telling you, in the long run, you are going to suffer. You are to find men that have the anointing, that have the Holy Spirit, that have their integrity intact. And these people, these individuals, are safe harbor. They're safe harbor. They are a shield from the storm that's coming over the mountains that you cannot, over the mountains that you're looking at, and you don't see what's beyond those mountains. I gave a brother a prophecy one time. I told him, brother, your life is in a cove. You've reached the ocean. You're no longer in the river. You've reached the ocean, and you're in the ocean. And behind you are these massive mountains to the west. It's a beautiful day. See, the breeze is calm. Seas are calm. You're in the lagoon. But something is coming over those mountains that you can't see. If you climb to the top of the mountain, you'll be able to look to the west and you'll see what's coming. A massive storm, major. Get your sails out. Start the motor. Get your oars. And get away from the cove, get away from the shore, get out into the ocean, get out into the sea, get away from land. Use your motor, use your sails, get the oars in the water, and get everything that you have that can get that boat out of the lagoon, out to the sea. You're going to see what's coming. And if you have enough momentum, you can get away from the storm and the storm will pass and then you can return. Well, it happened. It did happen. He said, I know what that means. And I knew he didn't. And the storm did come. And the storm was pretty devastating to him personally. But eventually, the storm did pass, but he did, you might say, have quite a bit of anxiety, and he did suffer a little bit. I'm saying to you women, we're at the end of the world. God is not going to put up with this nonsense. For those that refuse to forgive, you will not be able to make it through what is coming. You have to be right with God. There was a time when I was in the hospital, and there wasn't any hope. It was over, and I didn't know it. I went in on a Saturday, and by Tuesday, it was severe. I was very, very, I felt okay. I didn't know that I was on a trajectory to death. And I just one night, the nurses on a Tuesday night, they walked out of the room, and my wife and I were there, and I had this sense, this is serious. I didn't know how serious. In about 2 weeks, there was no recovering. There was no way to return from the grave. And I told my wife, I said, honey, shut the light off. The nurses had gone out about 9 o'clock. They were done for their rounds for a couple of hours. And my wife and I think, if I remember correctly, we just got under the sheet. She was sitting in a chair. And I just felt, I really need to have a time of what is the term? I knew I needed God's help more than ever before. I knew this instinctively. My spirit was telling me. If your spirit is not active, if your intuition is not alive, then you're going to be in trouble. You can only be alive in your spirit. Prayer is one of the best ways to make your spirit alive. And to listen to your conscience and make sure your heart is right. I knew that I was in trouble. I knew something bad was coming. I think it was a Tuesday night. I'm going to say a Monday night because I got some bad news on Tuesday. But I had to look at the past and make sure that I didn't have a problem with anybody, that everybody I knew, I didn't have any unforgiveness in my heart. And I began with people that I might have had a problem with. I prayed for them. I didn't have a problem with them. There wasn't any unforgiveness. I might have had a little, they might have gone a different direction than I went, but I didn't want any problems. And we spent about an hour just making sure that my conscience was clear. I had no offenses toward man, no offenses toward God. And then, the fall of 4 days later, I have to leave the hospital, and they wanted to do some procedures that I absolutely would not allow them to do. I told the nurse, "What can I sign? I want out of here." She says, "You can't leave, sir. If you leave, you're going to die." I said, I want out of here. She brought me some forms, but in the meantime, she went to find the physician that had been taking care of me. We got a wheelchair. I was out. My wife, brother, and I got the car down into the van, and we were gone. And about 10 days later, I realized that one afternoon, I was so weak. I said, "Lord, I'm going to die." Oh, no. The Lord asked me a question, which I'll have to continue in the following program. This is just part one of without prophecy, there's not going to be any vision. And I'm going to get to this matter of the importance of prophecy, but I have to lay a foundation so that you'll realize the ship and the ships you have been going from point A to point B upon, these ships are not going to weather the storm that's coming. You are going to need to find the right people that you can pray with, that you will cover in prayer, that will cover you in prayer, that will, no matter what comes, your friendship will be solid, not in the natural, but in Christ. You're going to need to find people like that. Again, I'm coming to the end of this part one, hour one, actually. I'll make sure I put this on the website. I've lost two programs, which I thought were very important. I'm going to have to redo them, rehearse what I had stated, and it's all in my mind. And I'm just going to have to, the programs that I did that didn't get recorded, Matthew 24, verse 9, Tribulation Point, part 1. Matthew 24.9, verse 9, America, part 2. The Time of Sorrows and Birth Pains. I'm going to do those programs again after this one, but I'm going to continue for the next hour. I have to tell you what happened and how I survived an attack of the devil. And I will do that in the next hour. So this is hour one, and the name of the program is Without Prophecy, There's No Vision. You are blind if you don't understand prophecy. God bless you. For those who are leaving, I'm just going to bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I'll be back for hour two in a few minutes.